Family here this morning to the book of Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 8. Acts chapter 26 and verse 8. And our subject is drawn from that verse, a thing incredible with a question mark. Is it incredible that there is resurrection? Is it unbelievable that we one day shall be raised from the dead? Is it unbelievable that Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, the King of kings, was risen from the dead? So Acts chapter 26, verse 8, Paul speaking to a king, and the king's name is Agrippa. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And by the way, this is the only place in the whole Bible where you find the word incredible. Only here. The incredible credibility, the impossible possibility, or if you prefer, the impossible made possible, the unbelievable made believable. We believe, my dear friends, I'm sure everyone will agree with that. We believe in so many things that are not worthy at all to be believed in, especially in our world of fake news today. You hear something, you believe in it, next day it is debunked, and it is found to be a big lie, deception. But death, you like it or not, it is a reality. Death is omnipresent. And I don't think there is somebody here among us who has not been touched by death in his family, in his neighborhood, in his among his friends, at uni, even in the streets, you read about news of people dying day after day. Our world is a huge cemetery. Our world is a huge graveyard. I don't want to give you statistics of how many persons die every second in the world. So death is a reality. And the grave, you will agree with that also, that grave is real and cruel. I often think death has something good, one thing. It has no segregation. It has no discrimination. It takes kings, it takes peasants. Princes die, or the poor man dies. The white die, the black dies. Everyone, the yellow, the red, whatever color you have. You see, the indiscrimination of death. Why do we die? We will explain that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. If there was no sin, you wouldn't die. Do you know that? If there was no sin, if you are a perfect person, you wouldn't die. But we die because we have sinned against God. Oh, death, we all baffle facing death. It strikes down every day. You don't read on the news. When you go and read any magazine, or you watch or listen to the radio, you will not hear, oh, breaking news today. 100 people were risen from the dead. You don't hear that. You don't hear that. Once somebody is dead, he's dead. But what hope do we have? What hope do we have? Oh, my dear friends, may I tell you some good news? The Christian faith hangs. It hangs, and it depends on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can just show it to you from verse 23, Acts 26, verse 23, look at how Paul speaks about it, about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the paramount, the vital, the apex of the Christian life, that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Acts 26, verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Gentiles, there is you and me. You and me, Gentiles. We are Gentiles. So Christ died from died, he suffered, he died, and was risen from the dead to make his light to shine in your heart and in your soul. That's wonderful. And he did it by raising from the dead. My dear friends, again, may I tell you, we speak about Easter. Actually, I don't like that word. We speak about Resurrection Day, not Easter Day. Because today, I saw in putting tracks through some doors, you have a small picture at the window, Happy Easter. But for people, Easter is about bunnies. It's about chocolate. It's about eggs. No, nothing. Get rid of those things. Nothing to do with what we call really Resurrection Day. It's bigger and greater than that. Oh, we cripple before the Grim Reaper, the King of Terror. Is this subject foreign to you, the resurrection of the dead? Is it foreign to you, strange to you? That's the question Paul is asking the king. Why are you surprised that people are going to raise from the dead? So this is the answer we are going to give this morning, and it shouldn't be strange to you. Christ Jesus raised three persons in the New Testament. One of them is the daughter of Jairus. One of them is Lazarus, his friend, in Acts chapter 11 and 12. You hear about Lazarus. And one of them is the only son of a widow. May I tell you some good news this morning? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ never attended a funeral service? Never. When he attends, it is transformed, and that service becomes a celebration service. You read about the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. She was 12 years old. You read about the resurrection of Lazarus. 4 days, he was already dead, stinking there. And for the Jews, after 3 days, there is no more hope. That is why they mentioned to Jesus Christ, Lazarus is already in the grave for 4 days. Stinky. No hope. And you remember, Christ came to the grave and he said, Lazarus, come out. And you heard me saying this, preachers will always tell you, if Christ only said, come out, all the dead will come out. But specifically, he said, Lazarus. And Lazarus came out. May I tell you more? Do you know that when Christ was hanging on the cross, when he gave up the ghost, he gave up the spirit, we read in Matthew chapter 26 that the graves were opened and the saints came back to the city of Jerusalem and many people saw them. Oh, I think what a lovely day that day when somebody, your loved one, your father, your mother, your cousin, your uncle, your auntie, your sister. Oh, here it is. She came back from the dead. That was good news on that day. And it is all because of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that women got back their dead ones with the prophet Elijah. They got back their dead ones. So God was merciful upon them and gave them back their dead ones. Oh, this is not a light matter. My dear friends, look at the question again. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So Paul put the question to King Agrippa, and 30 years after his conversion, 30 years after the conversion of Paul, now he's standing before a king, not because he was a criminal, but he was standing before that king because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, for Christ's name's sake. For Christ's name's sake, here he was brought before the king. And remember, Paul was a killer. He was a killer. He was a murderer. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that Paul calls himself a murderer. He got special letters in order to travel and arrest and kill Christians, men and women. And here he is now. He was brought before this king because of the testimony 30 years after his conversion. He persecuted the church beyond measure. And now, in verse 13 to verse 23, he speaks about the impact of the risen Christ in his life. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the person and the promise of the Christian faith. The person and the promise of the Christian faith. But look at the verse again. I will keep repeating this verse for you. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And it comes to my mind in Luke chapter 24. You remember when Christ met the two people? Some people think that was Cleopas and his wife. Other people think there were two men, but it doesn't matter. Two persons, that's why I use the neutral word there, two persons walking on the way to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus Christ met with them and he spoke to them. And there he said to them, "Oh, how fool you are." That's how he spoke to them. "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said about me." He said to them, all that the prophet have said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, my dear friends, maybe you are, some of us are not used to read the Bible, but in the Gospels, at least five times, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples that he's going to be arrested, he's going to be crucified, and he's going to be raised from the dead. Five times. He said that to his disciples. And it did happen. It did happen. So the Lord Jesus Christ, and he kept telling them throughout his earthly ministry, Christ is the living one. And this is why we have this Bible. We have this book. My dear friends, this is why the Bible still exists and still speaks. If the Christ was not risen from the dead, we don't need this book. And if you come back tonight, you know what? The question we will ask, if there was no resurrection, who are we? What will happen to us? And we will give argument and evidence, reasoning. Oh, what a glorious hope that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But look at it again. Why do you find it incredible, unbelievable to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What's the matter with you? Is your heart so hard to believe? Oh, may I give you three reasons why people don't believe. And maybe you are one of them. Three reasons. Number one, you don't believe because unbelief has taken over your soul and your life. Unbelief. Incredulity. The person is just incredulous. He doesn't want to believe. So this is why it is simple, because we are dead in our sins and we are just unable to believe by ourselves. It is not a matter of IQ. It is not a matter of intelligence. It is a moral matter. It is a matter of the heart. You know why people don't believe? I just don't want to believe. Simple. Why you don't want to believe? Because I don't want to be accountable to anyone. Oh, don't you see? I'm a smart person. I'm an ingenious person. I'm a free thinker. You are a slave of your own thinking. That's the reason. Unbelief. Unbelief is deliberate, a deliberate refusal, a denial of truth. Our heart is clogged with unbelief. Oh, my dear friends, you know, to move away, to cast away unbelief, you need a new heart. And that new heart could only be given to you by repentance and faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the rule, a new heart. You know, you don't believe because of pride. Unbelief and pride are two brothers, twins, if you prefer. Where there is pride, there is always unbelief. And where there is unbelief, there is always pride. And I don't want to believe because I don't want to be accountable to any. I want to be my own God. I don't need God. My dear friend, are you like Agrippa this morning? Are you like that king who doesn't want to believe? Number two, second reason, the ignorance of the power of God. You are unaware of the power of God. That's what makes you not to believe. Can I list for you some of the things that show to you the power of God, if you don't mind? Number one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't you see the power of God? And he created them just by saying a word. Amazing. That's amazing, my dear friends. Just a word. And he created the heavens and the earth. Don't believe the journalist on the television. It's a big lie when you hear they are telling you millions and billions of years. I hope nobody believes that. In 6 literal days. They are teaching that at school. It's a new trend. It was not so in the beginning. Everyone, even in this nation, few centuries ago, everyone, before evolution, the theory of evolution came, everyone believed that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created me in his image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, in his resemblance, in his likeness. Oh, you may think you come from a chimpanzee, that's your business. But he created us in his image. But think about it. And he made man ex nihilo. You know what that means? From nothing. From nothing. He just took the dust, and here you are. He breathed in man a soul, a spirit, and man became a living spirit, a living person. The flood, you know, when the flood came in the time of Noah, there have never been rain on earth. Suddenly, there was water from above, from the firmament, from the skies, from the clouds, and there was also water from beneath. You remember Jonah, the prophet Jonah? Oh, today the cynics and the skeptics, they are telling, no, it's impossible for a big fish to swallow a man. It is happening. It is a reality. And he lived. And the sign of Jonah was actually the sign the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the people when they asked him, what sign are you giving us And he said to them, this wicked and evil generation, no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? In the same manner that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, the Son of Man shall also spend 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and he shall be raised from the dead. We could multiply all the examples for you. 40 years. Do you know, in the Old Testament, the people of God, for 40 years, when you think about them, there were 2 million people in the wilderness. The text says that they didn't have to worry about their clothes. They didn't have to worry about their shoes. Maybe they just imagine you and me wearing the same shoes for 40 years, and they are still brand new. Miracle. And science couldn't explain that. You remember in the time of Samson, the carcass of a lion, and he went, he plunged his hand in, and honey came out. Could science explain that to you? The dry bones in the book of Ezekiel. Endless. I could keep you the rest of the day telling you the miracles and the miracles, the crossing of the Red Sea. God put the sea, the waters, two walls, and the people of God passed through the motorway, God's motorway, and they passed through. And when the Egyptians came in, the waters covered them, and they all died. My dear friends, be aware of the power of God. Reason number three. So reason number one, you don't believe because of unbelief and pride. Number two, because you are not aware of the power of God. God can raise you from the dead. Number three, you don't believe, simply said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. Have you found a dead man believing? No. That's why you need the quickening power of the Lord Jesus Christ to blow, to breathe the power of the Holy Spirit upon your soul, and you become a living soul entrusted in the Savior. We are spiritually dead before we die spiritually, physically. Now, I come back to the verse. Almost there. We are almost done. Why should it be a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Oh, Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Christ was declared to be the Son of God by power by the resurrection of the dead. If he was not risen from the dead, he will never be declared to be the Son of God. But he has always been the Son of God, always. And his resurrection seals all his claims and promises. You know, to be an apostle, my dear friends, wake up. Do you know there are churches you go to there and they tell you, oh, we have an apostle here. Do you know from the Bible that to be an apostle, you have to have sinned and to be with Jesus Christ from the day he was baptized in the Jordan River until the day he ascended with the resurrection? My dear friend, please tell me. Nod your head if you want. Is there somebody today, 2,000 years after Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, who was dead and who have seen Christ when he was baptized until when he was risen from the dead? Is there somebody today? Of course not. So you see how people are deceiving us, and we are so gullible, and I go to a church, oh, the apostle will put hands on me to pray for me. He is an apostle of himself. He's not an apostle of Jesus Christ. Self-appointed. Self-appointed. And Christ, we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, has been appointed to be the judge of the world. You know how? by his resurrection from the dead. So Christ is the Son of God by his resurrection. Christ appoints his apostles by his resurrection, but Christ is also declared to be the judge of the world by his resurrection. And he has been risen from the dead. Do you know why we meet on Sunday, not on Saturday? The Jews, the Sabbath for the Jews is on Saturday, and Saturday reminds us creation. But do you know why we meet on Sunday? When I was at school long time ago, and I believe even in this nation, when you count the days of the week, you always say the first day of the week is Sunday, not Monday, today, day, oh, the 7 days, Monday, Tuesday, and so on. But long before, it was Sunday. Why Sunday, the first day of the week? Because that was the day the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. All these passages are telling us that on the first day of the week, the church met. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Pentecost happened at the first day of the week. First day of the week. And Christ was risen. First day of the week, to remind us not only creation, but to remind us redemption. And baptism, why do you get baptized? You know what baptism means? Baptism means when they plunge you in the water, that is your identification with whom? With Christ in his death. And when they lift you up, that is your identification with his resurrection. And how is a person saved? You know the text, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says there, I paraphrase it for you. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and you believe that in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you see that? Without the resurrection, there is no salvation, but Christ is risen from the dead. The Bible, the New Testament was compiled because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is credible. Christianity is credible. Christ is credible. The Bible is credible. The gospel is credible. Heaven and hell are credible. We are not speaking about fictions or myths or legends. We are speaking about reality. Repentance and faith, forgiveness of sin, power over sin, assurance, all these things are credible. There are many, many infallible proofs. May I give you one proof of an old man? Job. Job was at least 2,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Job chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him with my own eyes. Because he knows that his Redeemer is going to die and be risen from the dead. Abraham, the patriarch, the prophets, they all believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence is just compelling. But we are going to be raised from the dead one day. I don't have time to turn you to John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, but we read there that there will be a general resurrection. And on that day, there will be also a separation. The goats will be separated from the sheep. The righteous will be separated from the unrighteous. But let me close. What is your response this morning? From all what you heard, what is your response? May I show you what was Agrippa's response? Look at his response in verse 20. In verse 28. In verse 28. Agrippa's response in verse 28. Oh, what a sad response this king gave on that occasion. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. And the king is speaking. Instead of trembling, instead of confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And look at his answer. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I am almost a Christian. I almost won the tombola. Did you win it? No. Almost a Christian is not a Christian at all. That's the reality, my dear friend. Oh, what a sad answer from the king. But what must you do, you and me? Look at it in verse 20. In verse 20, do you see what you need to do? But showed first unto them in the, of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles. Look what you need to do. They should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Repentance is the first step in conversion and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why faith conversion is called the first resurrection. Now, if this morning you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you do so, you know what is happening? You experience the first resurrection. The second resurrection is when Jesus Christ comes back and you will be raised from the dead, and you shall be with him forever. That's the teaching of the Bible. And repentance speaks about abhorring my sin, having godly sorrow for my sin, a contrite heart, a broken heart. My dear friend, do you love your sin more than you love your soul? Oh, how sad it is. May I ask you, if you don't mind, pray in the secret of your heart now. You don't have to go to anyone. In your heart, even now, that Christ may break through. No ticket counter to go to. It's all by grace. And if you do so, Christ's resurrection will smash and crush your incredulity. And you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we read in the Bible in Romans chapter 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And Christ said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And he also said, he who believes in me shall never die. Come to him, believe in him, trust in him, yield your life to him. Let's